Celebrate the 500th anniversary of the Reformation with the new Martin Luther plush figure. It features the 16th century reformer holding the Bible and Luther's morning and evening prayers. Go to reformationgear.com, use the coupon code ISSUESETC, and 20% of your purchase will help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. reformationgear.com, the new Martin Luther plush figure, reformationgear.com, and enter the coupon code ISSUESETC.
And now Federated Fuel Oil Dealers of Western Minnesota brings you The Secret Life of Lutherans.
Marlis, listen, I...
Yes?
I know you may not have had this in mind when you invited me over for coffee cake and coffee, but I have to say that I've been crazy about you for years. I know it's wrong, you and I both married to wonderful people, but I want to throw it all over and run away with you and live a passionate life. Just no matter what the price we have to pay, the shame, the pain we cause to others, I can't live without you. Can't you see that somehow? I believe that you've had the same thoughts, Marlis. I'm not asking for an answer now, but you have my cell phone number, and when you say the word, I'll be here, okay?
Well, you want to run away where?
I want to give up everything I have, Marlis, my family, my career, my reputation, and take you to Italy and live with passionate abandon and delight you in every way I possibly can, stopping at nothing, a life that would be impossible for us here in Minnesota, especially this time of year.
That's an excerpt from A Prairie Home Companion featuring Garrison Keillor. Of course, he's left that radio program, but he's left it in good hands, I hear. A long time humorist on the radio who's, well, one whose single subject, not his only subject, but his single favorite subject was certainly Midwest Lutherans. Now he's announced that he's looking for a new religion. Again, he does it with a humorist bent, but Christianity, he's kind of fed up with it, especially here in America. We're going to be talking about that with Pastor Hans Feeney, pastor of River of Life Lutheran Church in Shanahan, Illinois, and creator of a series of comical videos called Lutheran Satire, senior contributor to The Federalist, and author of a recent column. Garrison Keillor is on a quest to leave the religion he never found. Hans, welcome back.
Thank you very much.
Been listening to Garrison Keillor probably for more than 20 years. And I agree with you in your column that he just, as a humorist, he just got less and less humorous over the years, ending in kind of a, liberal Protestant malaise that couldn't make anything be funny anymore. What do you think happened?
Well, I think a lot of times what happens with comedians is that the shell of humor and tongue-in-cheekness kind of erodes, and then eventually you just get the undiluted bitterness that's behind it. There's a show that Jerry Seinfeld does now called Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, where he just kind of sits down and talks with various comedians over a cup of coffee and kind of about the craft of what they do. And I was watching one recently he had with the comedian Bill Burr, and Bill Burr was noting how, basically saying how other people don't realize this about kind of, clean, sort of calm stand-ups like Jerry Seinfeld and a guy like Brian Regan, who's a kind of a similar disposition. And he says that everyone else doesn't realize that it's the same seething anger that he and more kind of, vicious and profane comedians have. It's coming from that same place of bitterness, so that when they'll make some observation about something and they make it kind of calmly and they're sort of chuckling at it, and everyone thinks, oh, yeah, that's really funny, that's hilarious. But the truth is that in the moment when that observation was made, it was made from a place of sort of anger and disgust at the world. And I think you see this sometimes with comedians. I think David Letterman is probably another example of this, where you spend years kind of venting your disdain at the world sort of through this purifying filter of comedy. And then for whatever reason, that filter begins to wear down throughout the years, and the bitterness and the disdain and the smugness just kind of starts to come through more clearly. At least I guess that's how I'd answer the question for someone who thinks he used to be funny. I never particularly found him to be all that funny in the first place.
So Garrison Keillor kind of made his career, at least his radio career, on gently ribbing Midwest Lutherans. I don't know that he was ever a Lutheran himself. He was Brethren or something like that. But why is he looking for a new religion and not Christianity?
Well, the piece is obviously, it's a satirical piece of sorts. I think it's basically just he's sort of using that as a ruse to kind of talk about his own struggle to kind of find peace in the world, and I suppose his disappointment with a nominally Christian nation that elected Donald Trump, which he sees certainly seems to see as a betrayal of Christianity's values. So I think it's more, that's just kind of the idea of looking for a new religion is sort of the setup for just kind of cracking lame jokes about other religions, and then kind of explaining, you know, how he's gotten to the point where he's just sort of trying to get through this life of confusion.
And why is he left kind of the stranger in the strange land? What's wrong with the other religions that, at least according to his satirical piece, what's wrong with the other religions?
Yeah, well, I think the actual point he's trying to get at is that there's a sense of emptiness and a lack of fulfillment that these things really bring, you know. So he sort of talks about Buddhism, and the joke is, oh, basically, you know, who's got time for all that meditation and trying to find the peace within, you know, when you've got noisy children around, which is, you know, it's, I think, kind of there's obviously a joke in there, but I think the deeper idea is probably something along the lines of this idea of inner peace and finding peace within you, and this kind of mystical journey within yourself is ultimately unfulfilling in a world where that inner peace is oftentimes quite hard to find. You know, and he kind of goes through other religions and sort of takes lighthearted jabs at them, and basically, you know, sort of the point is, well, he's, you know, just sort of a Midwestern, a humble Midwestern guy, and none of these, you know, exotic things and these exotic religions from other lands really fit with his, you know, sort of apple pie upbringing.
You say that he kind of made a career mocking conservative churchgoers, and that's how progressive Christians, you say, seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, well, it's similar to something I said. I don't remember where I wrote this a while ago.
It's ringing a bell for me too.
I think it was something I might have just written on the Lutheran Satire Facebook page or something along those lines. But it was something along the lines of, for conservative Christians, their greatest enemy is the devil, and for liberal Christians, their greatest enemy is conservative Christians. And so that to them is the worst, or something like the worst for, or maybe something along the lines of, for conservative Christians, the worst thing you could be is an unbeliever, and for liberal Christians, the worst thing you could be is a conservative Christian. So it's the kind of the point is you know, kind of mainline liberal Protestants, whenever they're talking about conservative Christians, they're always trying to distance themselves from them, always trying to say, oh, they don't represent who I am. This is not what I believe. I don't want them speaking for me or any kind of anything of that nature. So it's always kind of, it's virtually always an act of disowning and saying, no, they don't represent the love and the heart of Jesus. I do. Don't pay any attention to them. But then the only time when you actually claim them as your fellow Christians is when you kind of want to cozy up to them so you can sort of claim the right to belittle them. It's a bit like the Seinfeld episode where his dentist friend Jerry Watley converts to Judaism so for the jokes, so that you don't really claim these as your people, but you get close to them and sort of claim them as your own so that you can belittle them, and so you can take advantage of that supposed kinship in order to set yourself above them.
Looming in the background of all of this is Keeler's rather thinly veiled disappointment, in fact, a plainly stated disappointment that America would elect Donald Trump. What is role does that play here?
Well, yeah, this is the thing I suppose I just find odd about it is I can, you know, I wrote plenty of stuff that was fairly critical of Donald Trump during the whole election cycle. I think he's morally is a very problematic person. You know, policy-wise, I'm certainly willing to give him the benefit of the doubt, just as I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt that, you know, that his sort of moral failings in the past will remain in the past. So, but what I just find odd about it is that Garrison Keillor and others who I've heard make kind of the same point, they act as though Trump ran against no one, as though Christians just went out of their way to actively select Donald Trump out of, you know, the option of, you know, 300 million Americans. And this idea that, and just sort of conveniently ignoring the fact that, first of all, the majority of people didn't vote for him in the primary, so therefore probably by the same number, a majority of Christians didn't vote for him in the primary. But then in the general election, well, he's running against a woman who thinks that you should still be able to take a child's life even through the ninth month of pregnancy, and who is firmly on board with the kind of the froth-mouthed secularists who are wanting to tax our churches into extinction and who, you know, want to fine Christian bakers and florists or anyone who won't enthusiastically embrace gay marriage, fine them into poverty. So you're kind of going, well, if those are people's choices, yeah, they're going to, you know, a lot of them are going to hold their nose and vote for a guy who is crass and vulgar, but at least has promised to be their friends, as opposed to the woman who endorses the slaughter of the unborn and has called them deplorable.
Pastor Hans Feeney is our guest. We're talking about Garrison Keillor's announcement that he's looking for a new religion. We'll talk about why it may be that Keillor feels empty after so many years of exposure to Midwestern Lutheranism, at least in his humor. We'll be right back. Celebrate the 500th anniversary of the Reformation with the new Martin Luther plush figure. It features the 16th century reformer holding the Bible and Luther's morning and evening prayers. Go to reformationgear.com, use the coupon code ISSUESETC, and 20% of your purchase will help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. reformationgear.com. The new Martin Luther plush figure, reformationgear.com, and enter the coupon code ISSUESETC.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth. Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
Lutheran. It's not a slogan. It's a confession. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you long for a church where the gospel of the sinner's free justification is front and center, and yet where a robust sacramental life is confessed and lived? Do you long for a church that rejoices in the sacred scriptures as the sole basis for the church's teaching and proclamation, yet values and listens to the witness of the ancient fathers and councils? Welcome to the Lutheran Church. We are what you've been looking for. Find a Christ-centered, cross-focused church near you on the Find the Church page at issuesetc.org.
When you do not have people in America who believe in America's uniting founding ideals, you don't have America anymore.
Luther's great legacy is that we are beggars. We bring nothing. Simply to thy cross I cling.
Jesus, unlike any other individual ever in history, came back from the dead. That places Christ in a category with no one else.
The whole point of vestments is precisely not to deal with pastoral preference. It's, in fact, to clothe over and cover over the individuality of the man and to clothe them instead in something that is decidedly neutral.
In about 45 minutes, we'll play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. You can listen to and vote for those soundbites, issuesetc.org, the archive page. You'll find those soundbites and you'll vote for them in about 45 minutes here on Issues Etc. Pastor Hans Feeney is our guest. We're talking about Garrison Keillor's announcement that he's looking for a new religion. You write this, Hans. You say, perhaps Keillor feels empty because he never saw the true faith radiating between the idiosyncrasies and mundanities of Midwestern Christendom. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, well, I think what he finds to be unfulfilling about Christianity is the fact that he's been he seems to be convinced that what Christianity is this kind of meaningless, unfulfilling Christianity. So that in his mind, you know, Christianity is just, you know, nice, respectable people who think it's good to be humble and want to work hard, all gathering together in the same place on Sunday morning to listen to a boring sermon and to hear, you know, morality fables from the Bible and find some sort of meaning in their mundane existence. So to him, that seems to be the extent of his understanding of how real Christianity is, as opposed to the truth that the true Christian faith is a collection of sinners who have been brought out of this world of misery and sorrow and suffering and given the forgiveness of sins, and who are feasting on that forgiveness even as they still continue to kind of sludge through the muck and disappointments and sorrows of this world.
I think what I, in time, and probably took about 10 years, and becoming a Lutheran pastor, found regularly annoying about Garrison Keillor's humor about Midwest Lutherans was that it was aimed at kind of all of the trappings of Lutheranism, in particular kind of the Norwegian or Finnish brand of Lutheranism,
right,
which is a little more your style. But the same stuff goes for the Germans. But it was aimed at all the trappings, at all the really, really tired stereotypes. And I think what I found more annoying than the humor, humorous attempts at it, was the degree to which Lutherans bought into that idea of this is what made them Lutheran. Lutefisk,
right,
hot dish, oompa,
right,
music, beer, and their ethnic heritage. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, this is one of my greatest frustrations as, I suppose, a self-anointed Lutheran humorist, is first of all, that I think part of the problem is that it's been a long time since Lutherans were cool. It's basically, you know, by the time the Calvinists came around and kind of started stealing our thunder in the years after the Reformation, that was pretty much the end of Lutherans being the cool guys in the room. So Lutherans just kind of have this problem of anytime anyone is saying anything that is remotely paying attention to you, well, my goodness, you got to love it and lap it up. And so just the mere invocation of, oh, look over there is Lars the Lutheran, and oh, my goodness, that's so funny because that's one of us. It's, you know, it's like that that Huey Lewis in the News song, The Heart of Rock and Roll is in Cleveland, where they've got the part where you just list the names of all these cities. And you know that they just put that in there so that when they're singing that song in these various places, when people hear the name of their city, they can all cheer and scream. And it's just this kind of, you know, meaningless response to being shown a little bit of attention. So I think that's part of the problem, is that Lutherans have never been content with no one caring about us. So the second anyone shows us any slight bit of attention, we fall head over heels in love with them, which is part of the problem. So the other thing is that on account of that, it just built up this culture of, oh, what it means to be a Lutheran is all of these dumb Prairie Home Companion jokes. And one of the things, as the guy who likes to crack jokes, that drives me nuts about this is that the vast majority of these things are not remotely unique to Lutherans. At the Lutheran church, you got to come early and take a back seat. Right, because Lutherans are the only ones who sit in the back of church, as opposed to every other denomination where they all do the exact same thing. Oh, Lutherans love to have casseroles. Yeah, that's right. We're the only people in the world who like to gather in a centralized location and bring food with us. Lutherans are the only ones, you know, who like to drink beer, which is, you know, why Oktoberfest was invented by the Roman Catholic Bavarians. You know, this kind of stuff is just, it's just silly. It pulls us away from understanding who we are as an actual confession of faith and as an actual people who are united together, not around common personality quirks or a common taste for, you know, bland Midwestern cuisine, but who are united together around a common confession of faith in the Book of Concord and in particular the Small Catechism. This is why it is I personally look forward to the day, and we're pretty much already there, But you know, the fact of the matter is that there are, you know, more practicing Lutherans in Africa now than there are in America or in Europe. So hopefully we'll get to the point where people will stop making Lutherans love casserole jokes, because the vast majority of Lutherans in the world will go, we have no idea what lutefisk or a casserole is.
Finally, then, kind of looking back on the career of Garrison Keillor, which, as you say, for a lot of Lutherans, they loved him because, hey, he just put us on the map. Right. We don't really care what he said about us. In fact, most of what he said about us was, in a lot of ways, reflective of kind of what the average Madison Avenue New Yorker thinks about us. I mean, he cemented flyover country as flyover country. What would you say to him? You say it's too late for him to be funny, but time's not run out yet on something else.
Yeah, well, I basically just say it might not be too late for him to be funny. I suppose he could start. Anyone can learn to work a little bit harder on their jokes. But it's not too late for him to find the true religion that will actually give him peace. And the reality is it's the one that's been under his nose the entire time. I think it was William F. Buckley wrote, it was an article about the Beatles and their trip to the Maharishi, you know, back in 1967, when they were learning all these great Hindu insights from this supposed transcendental, you know, meditation guru. And the big lesson they learned was be nice to each other. And, you know, and William F. Buckley is going, yeah, all that, you had to go all the way around the world to learn that love your neighbor lesson that was, you know, being preached in your Liverpool churches every single Sunday when you were growing up. So, you know, look beneath the lutefisk, look beneath the, you know, the faux Lutheran humility or whatever it is you want to call it, and you'll actually find the gospel of the forgiveness of sins, of eternal life, of the promise that the sorrows and disappointments and miseries of this world have already been overcome, even if we can't see it, because they've been overcome by the blood of our King.
Pastor Hans Feeney is pastor of River of Life Lutheran Church in Shanahan, Illinois, creator of a series of comical videos called Lutheran Satire, and senior contributor to The Federalist. His recent column there, Garrison Keillor is on a quest to leave the religion he never found. You can read it under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Hans, thanks.
Thank you.
Pastor Chris Roseborough and the death of Bishop Eddie Long right after the break.
Others talk. We have something to say. You're listening to Issues, Etc.